Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League and the Champions League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and here are today's topics. We look ahead to Saturday's Champions League final between Liverpool and Real Madrid, assess key comments from Erik ten Hag's first press conference as Manchester United manager, Antonio Conte promised significant funds to bring in new signings for Spurs, and we hand out the Two Robbies end-of-season Premier League awards. All that coming up in today's episode.
Rob, just before we get into football, I think it was it's the right time for the Two Robbies and hopefully all our listeners just to send our thoughts and prayers to all those affected in the terrible shooting at Uvalde in Texas. Obviously, we're hoping that some things will change in the future, but thoughts and prayers to everybody who's affected by that, and from everybody, I think, in the football community.
Absolutely, Rob. And yeah, difficult transition, but let's talk football. The Champions League is coming on Saturday. Liverpool take on Real Madrid in Paris. Wow, it's been some road to get there for both of these football clubs. You've got to say a very different path, Rob, Liverpool's had than Real Madrid's had. And I don't know whether that's going to come into the thinking for favourites for this game, Rob. With Real Madrid, of course, what was it? PSG, Chelsea, Man City, two of those games, they came from behind, scoring a ton of goals. With their experience, Robbie Earle, with the success, you know, with the winning habit that this club has had in this competition, and with the seemingly nothing will stop us finding a way, I guess Real Madrid are slight favourites with the bookmakers, etc. Rob, I haven't seen too many odds. We'll get into the details of injuries and stuff like that. But just off the kind of at the top here at the start, Rob, do you feel that Real Madrid, given that kind of stuff that you know that's non-tangible, you can't you know, but it's real. That's, do you make them slight favourites, or do you think Liverpool's team's better?
I think it's a good question, and I think, Rob, in looking forward to the game, I can see a case for both dressing rooms feeling they're going to do it. I kind of, you're right. Yeah. You look at Real Madrid. They lost their first group game to Sheriff, won all the others. They got PSG in the knockouts of 1-0 down, get that done. They get Chelsea in the next going with 3-1 up, losing 3-0, look like they're out, get that done. The Man City one, as we know, is classic football, you know, 4-3 down and then end up beating Manchester City, the Benzema fan. I think if you're in that dressing room, Rob, and the amount of times that you probably shouldn't have been in the competition, you should have been out of this one, and you're still there, I think that dressing room will believe that they can win it. I also think, Rob, as well, and I was just looking at the league and a few of the games, they've almost had a little period where they can almost get themselves ready for this game. In contrast to Liverpool, we were at Anfield at the weekend. We saw, I mean, Liverpool were on full alert. They were full out to make sure, you know, 1-0 down and 1-1, and then, you know, before the second goal went in, and obviously they got the third that in the end didn't matter. But it was Liverpool's team that's at full stretch, that's possibly right at this time of the season. And they've had 62 games, I think 63 will come at the weekend. You know, three defeats all season. Incredible, you know, record they've got. But there is a sense maybe that it's just starting to get to that sort of exhaustion point. It's just getting to that point. And I just wonder if you're Real Madrid, you might feel, come on, you know, they're not quite right where they were. Now, Klopp's going to do his work. They're going to have a week of prep and they'll be ready. But, you know, if I'm Real Madrid and I'm Ancelotti, I believe I'll be confident. Jurgen Klopp isn't going to allow anything, and I don't think the group of players. Read a few articles, Jordan Henderson talking, Mo Salah talking, you know, all focused on this game. They want this, and in some respects for them, Rob, what you would imagine, just that they almost deserve this Champions League. They're better than a domestic double, you know, to have pushed City as far as they've gone, to play the football. Yeah. They're better than a league double, but they've got to get it done.
They have got to get it done. And, you know, just going back to what you say about the Real Madrid dressing room and stuff.
Yeah.
And I know what you mean, but they've got to be careful not to be too confident, Rob. They've got to, I'm sure they respect and they appreciate the players in that Liverpool dressing room. Yeah. Now, I tend to agree with you, Rob. And we looked at the game, didn't we, from Anfield. We had brilliant seats. We're in these observer positions. Tremendous. And there were changes to the Liverpool side. We've seen changes from the FA Cup final to league games. I thought Liverpool looked and have looked only the last two or three games a little tired, maybe a little mentally tired, a little exhausted. And the changes, which we've credited and we've praised, the Jurgen Klopp squad now, that he's got the pieces to move in. And that's true. And they've got the results. They've done, very, very well. But it's not as though we're watching Liverpool team right now that's purring. Remember like two or three months ago, Rob, where this team was like irresistible, the way it was playing, the goals and everything else. You had every part doing its thing. That hasn't been the case. Now, the results have been there. But coming into this game, can they shake themselves down? Can they find that ultimate Liverpool performance, which has not been there, though, again, the results have been there. And let's just go through the list of players, Rob, that we're not sure about. And Jurgen Klopp isn't going to tell anybody who's fit and who isn't fit. I think we're assuming, and I'll go down a list here, we're assuming, maybe wrongly so, that Virgil van Dijk's going to be okay.
I think looking at him on the pitch, Rob, we saw him after walking around, playing with his kids, kicking a ball.
Yeah.
I don't think you're doing that if you're struggling.
Yeah, okay. I think Thiago Alcantara, midfield player, came off, limped at the end, and Jurgen Klopp is particularly worried about him. I think he has to be a big doubt. I think he has to be a very big doubt for the game. Well, but he's not.
I just went on a couple of websites just before we jumped on. All the signs are that he will start, Rob.
No way.
He's coming out of there. Now, whether that's a bit of brinksmanship, whether that's playing games, all the signs are that Thiago will be ready to go. Now, again, we don't know if this is gamesmanship or we don't know. But, a lot of the reports are saying they think he'll be okay.
Wow. So I didn't see that. Mm. I've had a busy day today. I didn't catch too much of the news today. So that's interesting because he's one of the biggest outs on this list.
Yeah.
I think Fabinho, back in training, Robbie Earl.
Yeah.
So... and a key piece, an absolute key piece, Fabinho in there. And there's others that can do it. Milner's done it. Henderson's done it. But I think he's going to be okay. Joe Gomez, a big doubt. Yeah. Maybe not one of their starting players anyway. Origi, not a starting player, is out. Mm. And Mo Salah came on, of course, in the last game against Wolves and scored. So we assume he's going to be absolutely fine. So if this team can shake out, Rob, and you got Fabinho back in there and Van Dijk back in there, you know, it's going to have to play at its peak, Rob.
Mm.
To get the job done. But with Jurgen Klopp, the job that he's done, and basically the run of results they're on. I mean, you know, the Spurs draw was the one that stopped him winning the Premier League title, I suppose. But that was a tough game of football. I think when you look at the team, he's just the biggest. If this team can perform like we know it can, with all these main pieces in place, I think Liverpool are slight favourites. I do. Mm-hmm. And I've heard different kind of the last few days, Real Madrid are favourites, no, Liverpool are slight favourites. So it's all over the map. I'm telling you now, if Liverpool play to what we know they can, I think they're too good. I think they're better defensively than your Man City's and maybe your PSG's and some of the previous teams that they've got through and scored a ton of goals, by the way. Yeah. And Karim Benzema is obviously the main threat. Apparently, he's only three goals, I think, Rob, off the top scoring European Champions League player. So there's reason for him. But no, I want to chuck in the matchup that I think everybody will be looking for, Rob, before I let you come back in again. We're going to go in the same direction there. And it is incredibly important. And it's Vinicius Jr. against Trent Alexander-Arnold, the left winger, incredibly quick, Rob, very pacey. Yeah. But most importantly, he's not the sort of player where you might think, you know what, he might not get much of the ball. He might not be direct as he normally is. He's super direct. He's super involved. He wants to take on his fullback. And as we know, Alexander-Arnold is not at his best when he's chasing and stopping a one-on-one skillful player, particularly as quick as Vinny Jr. That's got to be one of the key matchups, hasn't it?
Absolutely, it's got to be one of the key matchups. And again, you know, you start getting your thoughts toward the game and whatever. And part of me thinks, well, is it one of those days, Rob, as a manager, you would go to Trent, today, I just want you sitting. I don't want you bombing for. Do you know what? I don't, because that isn't who he is,
Rob.
That's his personality. So that's where I go back to. I think Fabinho being fit is so important, because I think Hendo can play on that right-hand side. Hendo in front of Trent Might give Vinicius a bit of a problem. He'll stop balls into his feet. He'll have a little bite. If Trent does go on, Hendo will sit in there and use his experience in his body to get him. He's nowhere near athletic as Trent, but football-wise and football now, I think he'll be able to do a job and stop that threat. So Fabinho playing centrally allows Henderson makes on a that
massive
right difference.
It's a good point.
Massive difference on the right for them.
Yeah. It's a great point, Rob. And also, that right side of Henderson playing right of the midfield three, Trent on the right back, and then Mo Salah, the rotations. And again, I think we've mentioned it before, watch out for Jordan Henderson making those outside runs and whipping that ball in, those first-time crosses.
Yeah.
That's proved very, very good for them. So that, I think the right side is always key. Mm. Who knows who's going to be on the left side? Is Luis Diaz?
Yeah.
Sadio Mane is going to play up front, you might think. So there's going to be a few, you know, a few little, not surprises, but interesting team selections from the Eurocup's point of view. Yeah. I'm assuming that Casemiro is going to be okay to play in the middle of the park.
Yeah, that's fine.
Brilliant holding midfield player again, Rob. I just love watching him play with the experience and the quality of Modric and Kroos around him. So, I mean, in China, you know, what a final it is for everybody to watch and enjoy this Saturday.
Absolutely. And you know, I heard Jürgen, so I read a bit about Jürgen this morning. He's saying that, you know, this isn't revenge for 2018. Different team, different outlook. We're looking at it through a different set of eyes. We're the different football team now. We understand sometimes you have to suffer. We come through. We've got better squad. We've won more things. We're more mature. So all the right noises coming out from there, Rob, that you would expect. From these,
but do you think on the revenge thing, we know that Mo Salah has already straight away basically said unfinished business, or you know, there's a bit of revenge out there. I mean, if he's that fired up, and he can deliver on that stage,
he's not quite been as great as towards the end of the season. No. He gets his goal at the weekend, he ends up with the golden boot, and listen, nobody's absolutely arguing his value and worth to the football team, but. Yeah, maybe that little bit of fire in his belly where he felt undone with the Ramos challenge last time in tears as he was off and wasn't able to play. That, I don't think that's a bad thing as long as it's kept within. And he's not somebody who usually goes over the top. We've not seen him with the red cards and all that stuff. So, a little bit of fire in his belly might not be a bad thing for Mo and something what he feels he has to prove.
So what are you thinking in terms of prediction, Rob, in terms of score? I'm going for a Liverpool...
Yeah.
High scoring, narrow victory. Somewhat like a 3-2. I that's what I'm feeling.
I just feel that in the periods of the games, if Liverpool can ramp the intensity up for 15, 20 minutes in each half, a period where they can get Real Madrid blowing, exhausted at full stretch, those are the periods Liverpool can win the game. Now, I suppose people would say, well, we're following English football and we're going with the Premier League team. Not at all. If I felt Real Madrid had it, listen, I've said there's absolute danger in Real Madrid. I said when they played City, this ain't done and vice versa. And I will say the same into the final. But I've got to believe that this Liverpool team backed off what was a moment of disappointment at the weekend for the Premier League. But it looked, you know, we were in the stadium and it looked like they got over that. They've got something else to go for. I think it's full attention to Champions League, and I think they'll find a way to do it.
Karim Benzema, of course, is the main threat for Real Madrid, Rob. Just my last thought on it, just thinking about it. And Virgil van Dijk, again, a little bit like Fabinho, is critical because he manages that high line.
Yeah.
He's the one that times the offsides. He's the one that's clever on the offsides. Mm. Karim Benzema is a lot of things. He's not quick.
Yeah.
If that's a quick centre forward against Virgil van Dijk, where that runs in behind, I'd be even more worried. Vinicius Junior again is the main threat against Trent, but even with the balls over the top, Rob. So I think Fabinho is a very important part, and Virgil van Dijk is an incredibly important part as well. Again, just backing up my prediction, Liverpool need those two players to start, and again, the team needs to find its groove. I think they can do it. But, I mean, what two football clubs, Rob. You know, what two giants of the game to go head-to-head on Saturday. So we'll look forward to that. And, of course, we're going to report back on a podcast later after the game.
Later after the game, that'll be our last podcast of the season. But we'll look back on that game and see if Liverpool can lift that trophy. Three cup wins for them in a season. Okay, my friend, let's turn it to a little bit of housekeeping. There's been some big stories going around, not least Erik ten Hag had his first press conference for Manchester United. What did you make of the former Ajax man coming at United? Will he have to learn how to deal with the English press? Might they try and lead him on, Musty, into some areas that are going to be difficult?
They are. I mean, you know, apparently he's spoken to, well, he's, of course, he's going to speak to the current interim manager that I guess has just gone now. My mind's blank on the Dutch manager they had a few managers ago.
Van Gaal? Louis Van Gaal?
Yeah. He spoke to Van Gaal about it all. Yeah. He's going to have to rely on Steve McClaren. He's going to be one of his coaches, Rob, in terms of how to handle the media. 1,000,000%. That's a part of it. That's just a part of the job. It really is.
I mean, David Moyes never got that bit right and ended up, couldn't stay in the job.
Yeah. I mean, there's a few things out of it, Rob, that we can quickly talk about. Mm. I think the first thing that I think we agreed on, that Cristiano Ronaldo, why wouldn't he be part of the immediate future of the football club, if not maybe the longer term? And he kind of basically said, well, yeah, I kind of expect him to bring goals when asked what he was going to bring. Yeah. I think that would have been, it's why would you want to start off and get rid of the guy that scored 18 Premier League goals and was pretty amazing in certain moments of the season. I'm paraphrasing a little bit here, but he's sort of saying, you know, asked about Pep Guardiola and Jurgen Klopp, Rob, and their eras in English football, how difficult it's going to be to try and get up with them. He kind of said, well, every great era, you know, kind of comes to an end. I don't mind that. Like, the fans want to hear things like that, Rob. Yeah, I think the fans are not stupid. They know that this is a very big job and United aren't going to be ready to compete with those two clubs in the near future. But ultimately, that's what they want to be going for. And they want to hear their manager say things like that. Of course, Sir Alex Ferguson famously talked about knocking Liverpool off their perch, Rob, a long time ago. So, you know, I don't mind it. So, yeah, I mean, the other thing was Harry Maguire. Rob, wasn't he? He was asked about Harry Maguire. And he's asked about, I think, Victor Lindelof, I read as well. That, I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there, and it's not. This isn't the time to start analysing what he says. No, it's super early yet. Yeah. Just a couple of interesting little bites. The Ronaldo thing is the main thing for me. Mm. He knows. I think he said that he's got to start right back at the beginning. He's got to go right back to first base, right back, peel this thing back. It's a big rebuild needed. Yeah. Certain players, are you on board for this or are you not? I'm thinking of Marcus Rashford in his incredibly disappointing season and even the ending part with the interim manager in charge at the end there.
Yeah, it hasn't been great, but I thought it was quite refreshing. I thought it's a difficult thing to come in and be over positive, but I think it's Manchester United. You've got to be talking as though this team can get better and can get back to competing. Pre-season, the first day of pre-season is when it all starts. It's when he really gets to work with this group of players. It was interesting, I read an article with Marcus Rashford that he's apparently coming over to the US in June. He's going to do a month's training, get himself in shape, wants to kick off, a new manager, a new start for him as he's sort of at the crossroads of his career. I mean, done such great things and come through the academy. But, decisions to be made on a number of players. It was interesting. I thought Ten Hag did a good job of saying Harry Maguire's been a good captain for this club. He's had some successful moments and, we'll be working together. So I think we did a reasonable job of just putting out fires where people were trying to and stabilising things. Listen, eventually, Rob, it'll be when we kick off next season, what kind of shape they're in, what kind of squad this looks like and will he start getting some results? Jurgen Klopp is a great example. What was it now, 7 years ago? He walked into that football club. And I remember, Robert, I saw something the other day. It was 2015-16 he came in. He had Joe Allen. He had Mamadou Sakho. He had Christian Benteke. I mean, that was in his squad. And those were the people that took him a little bit of time before the Van Dijks and the Alissons and the Luis Diazes and the Mozart and all those. And, that's where Manchester United have to think their progression is going to come.
There's a lot of things I'm excited about seeing with Man United, Rob. First of all, what I would say is that it's been such a horrific season and a horrific experience with Ralf Rangnick as an interim. It's as low as it's ever going to be, in my opinion. So with a pre-season, of course, recruitment is going to be critical. It always is. But what I'm trying to say is good preseason. Show us you can coach, which I'm sure he can.
Yeah.
Show us you can get organize a team. Yeah. Show us you can motivate players individually, like initially as one-on-one and what's going on. Sit down with all the key players and, of course, as a group. And there should be big improvements. Now, of course,
Champions League football?
Yeah, we didn't expect them.
Champions League football? Is that where a top four team of Manchester United caliber should be?
Yeah. Okay, so in his first season, that is obviously the target. But, the Jurgen Klopp stuff, Rob, I just want to see progression. Yeah. If they finish fifth and it's pretty obvious this team's getting better, that's all right. Yeah. It's not the end of the world. Yeah, they want to be in the top four, and that will be the target. I think that this team could improve a lot immediately. Given a new manager, he's the future. He's got a full preseason. He's going to coach them, organize them. They can't be anywhere near as bad as they are right now, Rob. Yeah. And there should be progression and improvement, and that's what I want to see. Now, if that continues all season, they should be absolutely in the top four race, and you'd hope they get in it. If they're not quite there, it's not, you know, this isn't a time for Man United to be impatient. They want to stick with somebody for a long period of time. The club does. I'm sure the players do. I think the fans do as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just the manner, and I'll be quiet. It's the manner of the performance, what we're seeing, and we can see it with our very own eyes of how the team are playing. Are the players locked in? Are they motivated and organized? Because you'll see it. And it's shocking if they've been over the last few months. It can only look better when he puts the first team out early August, Rob, in a few months' time, and we start to see the look of it. And not even talking about what players are going to come in. So there should be a big upgrade, but it's got to be something that we can see week in, week out, that he's doing stuff that's making a difference.
Quick line, just before we talk about Tottenham, because there's some interesting news there. There was just pictures of Erling Haaland was in Manchester yesterday. We saw the scenes of the team celebrating the Premier League. It looks like the one or two were having a good time with that one. But Erling Haaland back in Manchester. It was interesting, Rob. I read a couple of interviews, and I think we've touched on it maybe on the podcast in terms of Haaland coming in. You know, how does that fit? What does that do to the team? You know, there was a few Manchester City fans saying, listen, we're top scorers in the league. Look how many goals we got from all over the place. And then we're going to get a possible 20, 25 goal man in there.
Mm.
He's not quite the plug and play that we've known in the past, though, is he? There might be a bit of work for Pep and the team to do to accommodate him in the way they want to play. Might even change a little bit the way they play.
I think so. Everybody's got their own opinions. And of course, everybody's got different feelings on it. My particular feeling is he's such a different sort of player to what you might expect in a Pep team. Mm-hmm. Now, we've seen bigger strikers, more traditional number nines with Pep. That didn't work out very well. Big Zlatan, Ibrahimovic, of course, but maybe a little different, the way his personality. We see him go Lewandowski at Bayern Munich. Well, that worked out all right, and he scored a ton of goals. So Pep's so smart that he'll find a way for it to work, but I don't expect it straight away. Of the stuff that I've seen of Erling Haaland, his general build, I've said it before, build-up play, football, technicality isn't his strength. He's a brilliant finisher. He's strong, powerful, really quick, loves getting in behind and finishing chances and getting in the box. And that's going to bring a lot of goals, of sure. But
they might not play through him in that same way.
I just think it's going to look different. Mm. If they keep playing into his feet and they're expecting him to dribble players and play clever little one-twos and dribble out of tight spaces and score lots of goals that way, like an Aguero, that's his game. Short, powerful, skillful,
dynamic,
brilliant finisher. He's a different sort of player. So that's where it's going to take a little bit of time, even though, hopefully the goals start coming for him early on. He's such a great finisher and he's a poacher and he's all these things that you want a number nine. When teams bunker in, which they do against City, and they pin him in, he will be useful for crosses and the way he attacks the ball. He's not going to be useful for trying to find a little tiny way through past, which a great thing like Bernardo Silva can do, Kevin De Bruyne can do, Phil Foden can do, Ilkay Gundogan can do. They can find these little gaps. That's why they've got 96 goals in this season. He's different. Yeah. He's different, but a brilliant goal scorer. But I would expect to take a little bit of time. I think the football will look a little bit different. I think there'll be times when Pep's frustrated with him, Rob. I think he'd be frustrated with him. That he gives
him on Pep, the side of the pitch, giving him one of those.
Pep hates the strikers giving the ball away. Yeah, so he's got to be clean, and that's got to be a part of his game that gets better. What do you think about him? I seem to say a lot about him. What do you think?
It can't make them any worse, my friend, is what I kind of think. And
well, if he gives the ball away every time he comes up to him,
but
right?
I think there's in what how Pep plays and what he does and the training methods and the football IQ. We've seen Jack Grealish, who's a very clever footballer, who's struggled at times to understand his role and how he plays. Yeah. And I think Haaland's the same. Haaland's younger, less experienced, not played in the league before. But I do think these times, I think you talk about the defensive time, maybe not too many people have to open up your midfield to get into the box if you've got somebody there. I think there's options now and then to whip a ball in with a little bit of height and pace. And I think he can bring you a different type of goal to your team. And he will improve on his technicality and his football IQ. I think Raheem Sterling was a great example. The Sterling that left Liverpool and the Sterling we're saying now are two very different players, having worked under Pep and understood his methods. So I don't think there's any downside for City. I think it just adds to their pool of quality. And listen, Rob, if he's not quite good enough, he's not quite working, he might sit himself on the bench. Pep won't mind about that.
Yeah. I know. Yeah,
he might come in when he needs to. Yeah. So, you know, they'll be setting the standards again and be throwing the gauntlet down with Haaland and the team. And it's something the rest are going to have to catch up. A team that will be looking to catch up, my friend, could very well be Tottenham Hotspur. Antonio Conte, we believe, by all reports, has been given around $150 million to spend on this team. So it's about $187 million. To spend. There is talk that Conte is looking to possibly extend his contract. Talk that Harry Kane's looking to sign a long-term contract. With Kane, with Son, with Conte, with cash, Spurs in business.
Yeah, they're in business. They're in business. £150 million, Rob. Three very good players at 50 million quid.
By the way, with the Romero and Kulusevski kind of players.
Yeah, so the early signings of the new director of football, Paratici, it looked pretty good. Now, that's a decent amount of money, isn't it? £150 million is a decent amount of money. We know the manager's a champion. We're starting to see not total consistency, but a lot better in terms of consistency. And again, we know that pre-season is very important to Antonio Conte, that incredibly important with more tactical work, fitness work. Of course, it's going to come down to how much better the starting 11 is. Of course, 38 games trying to compete with Liverpool's incredible squad and Man City's will be very difficult. But you know, you could throw in there a dark horse for the title if they bring in the right people, given what he's done before, and given I don't know the front players, Rob, than the goals they've got in them. I mean, and Kane started this season miserable, not interested, awful for many games.
Yeah, well, we know why, but
it happened, and they finished fourth. And if he's chomping at the bit from day one with training and with everything else, and a few players in midfield, or maybe I think defenders would be important to them, Rob, with these three players, I think a wing back, at least one centre back for me, and I know that Dyer's done better and David, but Davis isn't the answer for me. It just isn't, and he's looked good, and he can be a, you know, maybe another left wing back or also a backup player on the left side centre back. Christian Romero is a strong beast of a defender. Another one of those defensively. I don't know, in the middle of the park, you need something. Maybe you do. So there's three or four players can come in on that money, and they can have a good run at it, Rob. Given this finish right now and what it means, you know, for the finances.
I certainly think they're looking at Chelsea, certainly the third place team, and be saying that they want to be competing, if not challenging them for a top three spot. And as you say, listen, if things start well and this little fella's in charge, you won't put anything against him. And he's often, Rob, I looked back at his Chelsea teams. I mean, he gets a shift out of people. Victor Moses was part of his team. You know, Marcus Alonso was a big part of his team. He had one or two in there who weren't all champion players, but they fit his system and do the way he does.
He needs one of those. He needs a Victor Moses moment, yeah. Can't assume that all the
signings. Sessegnon could be his Victor Moses.
He looked all right. Yeah. What other areas do you think, Rob? I think, are we agreeing that the front three or four with Lucas to come in?
Three or four is pretty good to go. I think a midfield, a bit more passing midfield quality. There's talk about John McGinn and one or two others that have been mentioned in that area. Another centre-back to go with Dyer and Romero, because the whole system's based on that defensive structure. And as well as Ben Davies has done this season, in fairness, he's done a lot better than I thought, Rob. Again, and some of that might be down to the coaching and organisation of Conte. Another top quality, young, aggressive centre-back who's good in possession, can play out of the back as well. Now you're starting to talk business.
I think wing-backs as well.
Right wing-back.
Particularly, Emerson Royal, I'm not sure. I know he's a good age and he's a good athlete. I don't know whether he's got the technicality. And there's also a little bit of talk about Sergio Reguilon, maybe moving on, Rob. So... Yeah, I don't know whether there's something going on there at left wing back. I know Ryan Sessegnon has done pretty well of late. Yeah. Maybe they've got an eye on somebody in that position. But I just think, as we see now, you look at Cancelo, you look at Trent Alexander-Arnold and Robertson, the wide fullbacks in modern-day football are incredibly important for creating. They're the enablers, the creators, the assisters nowadays, particularly in wing backs. So I think those areas need to be upgraded as well as possible. But, yeah, I'm sure they're on it. Our team should be on it right now.
And you're thinking Harry Kane, you know, last summer couldn't wait to get out when he goes City. Do you think Harry signs? Is this him long term bedded into Spurs with Conte's ambition? And it looks like a little bit of money from the football club.
Yeah, I'd be really surprised if there's any noises for him to leave. I would. I mean, we know the City was a place he wanted to go.
Yeah,
that's dead and buried with Haaland coming in. Would you want to go to Man United, given the influx and the state there at the moment? I think he's going to crack on and try and be a legend and try and win something, you know, the top honour at Spurs. So, yeah, I'd expect him to stay on. I expect Antonio Conte now to stay on, given those. I mean, there are only reports, by the way, there's 150 million.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But it's the right kind of number that you might expect, given making the top four.
A little bit of breaking news, my friend, as well, just talking of Spurs. Former Spurs manager Jose Mourinho has just won the Europa Conference League with Roma. So again, the special one, the first person to win the Champions League, the Europa League and the Europa Conference League is no one other than Jose Mourinho. He's a winner, my friend. He gets it done and he does
it in a
certain style and he's got it done. Listen, let's move on to the most important part of the podcast this week. It's our end of season two Robbie's award. I know all of English football is on bated breath. Players and managers sitting by their phone waiting, you know, with their acceptance speeches of how pleased they are to get these awards. We're going to start off, mate, with the best signing of the season. There was a number in this category. I'll just a few headline ones. Luis Diaz, Dejan Kulusevski, Mark Cucurella, Mark Guy, Jose Sarr, Christian Eriksen, to name a few. Mm. Where are you going?
We haven't chatted about it. I don't know. I mean, listen, the list that we kind of got from our producer and stuff and sat through and thought about it. I mean, it's a brilliant list.
Yeah, I mean, they all could get an award, to be honest. You could give them all an award.
1,000,000%.
But we're not allowed to, my friend.
No, I can't look by Luis Diaz, Liverpool, for $51 million, 11 appearances, 4 goals, 3 assists, 25 years of age, Rob. It's not a huge fee. I mean, it's just not. And what he's already brought and what he's going to bring to the future. I love Cucurella at Brighton, Rob. We watched him, this young Spanish fullback, and all the players you mentioned there on that list. But given what Luis Diaz is likely to go on and do, given the money, given everybody says that you can't buy top players in the January window, I mean, it's just a... And I know Liverpool is attractive and players want to go there, and the Spurs are trying to get Luis Diaz. But what we've seen of him, Rob, and what I'm sure he's going to go on and do, I just can't look by Luis Diaz for the best signing this season. What do you think?
Okay. Great names there. One to add to it, actually, that wasn't on this, Cristiano Ronaldo. Can't forget about him, Rob. Came in and you know, as every time Ten Hag's talked about what might be part of the future. I'm going to go in a slightly different direction. I don't know if I'm allowed to do this, but it's our award, so I'm going to do it. My kind of signing stroke loan signing season, Conor Gallagher, Crystal Palace. Conor Gallagher, my friend, came into this football club after being at West Bromwich Albion, looked a bit of an up and down midfield player who can, you know, good energy, get around, you know, score the odd goal. Seen a different player, seen a player who's gone into a Premier League club, who I think has awoken his parent club, Chelsea, to saying there could be a talent here. He's got himself in the England setup and could bring something to Chelsea. They don't really have that dynamic midfield runner who can get forward and make things happen, and disrupt the opposition. So my loan best signing of the season is Conor Gallagher at Crystal Palace.
Before we move on to the next category, and by the way, I like it a lot in terms of making an impact and really putting himself out there. Just one other player, Rob, that I thought you might have gone, Christian Eriksen.
Not only returning to professional football, not only returning to the Premier League, but returning
to Brentford in a moment in time where they were massively struggling. And as soon as he signed and we started to see his quality and he started to get out, it took him a few weeks to get kind of match fit. He made a huge difference to their season with his quality, with his crossing, with his goals. And the team started winning again to a point where they got way safe very early. So the story is huge. And I, of course, we thought about all these players. Again, I go with Luis Diaz, but we've got to give an honourable mention to Christian Eriksen, Rob, what he's gone through and what an impact he made for Brentford. And by the way, it looks like, it sounds like, maybe he's going to stay on.
I just wonder if Spurs might be back in. I mean, by the way, they talk about Spurs on a free transfer. Yeah. You know, could be good business for Spurs. But yeah, it's a good shout, Christian Eriksen. Okay. You know, the scenes that we saw of him coming back to Premier League football were very humbling and I think very emotional for him as well as us watching. We're going to go to the other end of this scale. The worst signing of the season. You know, the award that many don't want. We've got Brian Heal in there. We've got big Romelu Lukaku, $135 million from Inter. We've got Jack Grealish, club record transfer fee. We've got Jadon Sancho, came in for big money from Borussia Dortmund. I'm going to go in early. I've got to go in early because I've got to go for the guy who you said was going to win Chelsea the title. Big Rom.
Yeah.
Didn't happen. Season fell apart. Even late on, when I thought maybe he can pull this together and win an FA Cup final, didn't happen again. And they've got a $135 million problem right now at the football club.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, it's the same one. We got a duplicate here. I mean, he's 29 years of age, Rob. He's going to be 30 next birthday, and that amount of money. And not only has he not done anything in the league, there's been a fallout. So there's also a fallout to try and recover from. Apart from the fact that he's looked off the pace, he's looked short in so many ways when we all thought he was going to add what they didn't have. And this is, you know, I'm going to say Lukaku because of my prediction and because of thinking he knew the Premier League. He knew how to score goals on the back of a brilliant season in a team that's got so much creativity and wing-backs that he was surely going to get the service. It's one of the things that I can't tell you why it hasn't really worked out. I mean, no, it's a little different from Inter to Chelsea, the way that they play. But I mean, that amount of money and what the expectation was, I had to go in. Jadon Sancho has been very disappointing as well. But, of course, younger. I thought there were moments where you started to see his quality. But in this season and the environment... and
Difficult, isn't it?
No question disappointing, but I think he has... I'm more believing he can come good than Lukaku. Yeah. I'm also more believing that Jack Grealish can come good as well. Again, disappointing. You said about earlier how it's hard to sometimes fight to please Pep. But yeah, we're on the same page there, mate. Romelu Lukaku, wow. Like, and what are we going to see next season? Because, you know, it looks like Rob again reports today that the government are about to ratify, approve, rubber stamp, Todd Bowley and the new consortium of owners that own this football club. That's great news. I don't feel super complete yet. But player trading is what football clubs are all about. Lukaku, I wouldn't be surprised if there's some deal done where he's gone and they need another centre forward. But we're on the same page with that one.
Our next award goes, and it's a kind of award that we talk about each week in the podcast, and I'm going to call it the underappreciated performer of the season rather than player. So I'm going to broaden it out a little bit, and you'll see for reasons. I'm going to jump straight in with mine, Rob, before we start. My underappreciated performer of the season is Thomas Frank.
Manager.
I'm going to go for the manager. I think in a season when... We'll talk about Pep and Klopp and Conte and all these guys. A manager who came into the league with a team and never played in the Premier League, who gave us some brilliant moments. Remember that first game at home to Arsenal? And awesome. The fans cheering and the guy in tears. And we saw the relationship with the fans at the community stadium. They were favourites to, probably one of the favourites to go down. They actually, Rob, and it was a really interesting line I read this morning, they finished 13th in the table, got 46 points. Remember, this is the team who came up in the playoffs.
Wow, incredible.
Norwich and Watford both came up as first and second. Norwich got 22 points this season. Norwich got 23, so combined 45 points, and Brentford got 46. I mean, it's incredible. The likes of Thomas Frank is the manager. David Raya, I think the goalkeeper. Christian Norgaard in midfield. Rico Henry, left back. Ivan Toney, players, Rob. If Brentford were to want to sell, to plenty of people would be in for him. I just think it's a brilliant story. And I think he's underappreciated in what he's done at this football club to keep them well away from relegation trouble. Obviously, the Christian Eriksen signing did play each part, but that was only his relationship and him going out to Eriksen and being the first there. So, yeah, I just wanted to make sure that he got an award this year. Thomas Frank, Brentford Football Club.
Well, I think it's a brilliant, brilliant shout, because we're going to do Manager of the Season a little later.
Yeah.
But it's a brilliant shout because of how difficult it is. Underappreciated Thomas Frank. Yeah. I think it's great. The football that they played, the front foot football. You know, first season euphoria is always strong, and it was with Brentford, but still... To recover off a really bad run was great. And you know, we still talked about Thomas Frank, but smart guy, a smart football club. Good shout. All right, I'm going back with players.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we've talked about him and people have talked about him a lot, where maybe he's a little bit more appreciated now. But Jared Bowen, West Ham United, with 12 goals and 10 assists, from a wide position, not playing as a centre forward, just received his first ever senior England call-up, Jared Bowen. I mean, he's got to be the underappreciated guy.
Yeah.
And there's talk, well, he isn't underappreciated with Jurgen Klopp. Mm-hmm. There continues to be talk about Liverpool coming in for Jared Bowen, a player that started the season fairly slowly. I remember on our shows, Rob saying, everybody's doing so great at West Ham. They had a great start. Well, yeah. Bowen's a good player and hasn't started quickly. But he became the main man. Mm. And it's not just the goals. You know what makes him special. And he talked about it. He talked about his love of doing the other side of the game defensively, work ethic, helping his fullback out. And again, a wide player. And his quality finishing when he's had opportunities has been stunning. So somebody who's come from, God, the smaller clubs in the smaller leagues has taken his opportunity at West Ham United. And I just think, yes, he has become appreciated. You know, in this category, you know, this is a season long. So, you know, you're never going to, we're not going to chuck out a guy that people aren't aware of.
Yeah.
But into all the ones that we chucked out, and you did an underappreciated team for our last Premier League show on Sunday, I think Jared Bowen still will be captain of that team, given the level that he's reached, Rob, and the level that West Ham reached. And now an England call-up means that the manager, Gareth Southgate, feels the same way. What a player, what a season, Jared Bowen.
Absolutely. 3 years ago, Robbie was playing the Championship for Hull. He signed in January 2020, West Ham United, and, you know, his rise continues. And you know what's great, what I like about Jared Bowen, Rob, is there's players down in the league who can look at him, and that's who you can become. You don't have to be at a top six academy. You don't have to be signed for hundreds of millions of dollars. If you work hard, you get your break and you get in and you know, you give it your all. Sometimes that's enough. And you know, fair play to Jared Bowen. Goal scorer, work rate. Looks like a great lad to have in your football club.
All-round player.
You know, would be on the radar of big six clubs right now if West Ham were interested in selling, which I'm sure they're not. Okay, mate, let's go to the big one. Manager of the season. It's the likes of Pep Guardiola, Jurgen Klopp, Eddie Howe, Patrick Vieira, Thomas Frank would have been underappreciated, but Antonio Conte taking his Spurs team into fourth spot. But where's your inkling here?
Well, okay, I'm gonna start with somebody that gets a massive honourable mention, and that's Eddie Howe. Now, some people might go for him. Maybe you're going to go for him as manager. Yeah, I'm just mentioning him.
I'm telling you right now, I'm going for him.
Well, yeah. I'm not quite going for him, but okay, I get it. And you're going to give him, I guess, the props that he deserves.
Yeah.
But the job that he's done is pretty remarkable. It is pretty remarkable. But I am going to go back to the top of the league table. And I'm going to go for Jurgen Klopp. Now, I understand who won the championship. I understand that Pep Guardiola would maybe, with a lot of people, would win it. I'm going to go with Jurgen Klopp because he has chased down this Man City side all season long whilst getting to the final of all competitions that they played in. They have the final on the Champions League, of course, on Saturday.
If they don't win the Champions League, Rob, does that... Because he was on my list, but it would depend. If he won the Champions League, I would say... It's about winning, though.
This is more about the Premier League. I mean, this is a kind of Premier League awards. My argument is he's done well in other competitions, right?
Yeah.
And that he's played 63 games, and so given the not it's more about he's got to cup finals, all the other cup finals, but he's had to then go back and win Premier League matches. Pep's had a little bit of time. He got out of the other cups. Of course, they didn't make it through to the Champions League. They had a little bit more time to rest and recover. So Klopp's had to deal with all that and still was, 15, 20 minutes away from winning, the potential winning a quadruple. You know, the three goals in 5.5 minutes from Pep that took it away from him. Mm. And to finish just 1 point behind this giant of a team in Man City and the resources that's been there to build a brilliant team and with a great manager. And others might disagree that he fell short at the end, but given the season, given the changes, some of the injury issues, he upgraded the team throughout this, made some great signings. He's got the signing of the season and Luis Diaz. And to finish 1 point behind whilst juggling everything else, I just would pip Jurgen Klopp ahead of Pep and of Eddie Howe.
Well, listen, you can't argue with that, and I believe he's won the Premier League Managers of the Year award. I think it was today or yesterday he's been given that award, so obviously people agree with you. I kind of feel like if he wins the treble, it would mean a little more and would probably get it. But I've gone another route, and you touched on it. I've gone for Eddie Howe, Rob, and I've basically gone for Eddie Howe because on the basis of where this football club were to where they finished, I think 11th in the table, 49 points. They played primarily top four football for a large part of the season that they got into the football club. I'm not convinced if Jurgen Klopp or Pep Guardiola went to Newcastle, they could have done a better job. Mm. And the biggest indication of what Eddie Howe has done and how he's done it is a Brazilian centre-forward called Joe Ellington, who in football terms we say couldn't hit a barn door. He couldn't hit a barn door, my friend. He's turned him into a box-to-box midfield player with energy, with importance. Made a couple of great signings, like Guimarães. Got more out of Saint-Maximin, the Matty Matty Targets, the Kieran Trippiers. Just a brilliant all-round job for one of the toughest jobs in football. It's a place where, under pressure, big ownership, plenty of money, plenty of eyes. I just think Eddie Howe, I wasn't sure Robbie was he could do it, and certainly do it in the manner and the style that they've played. I mean, the win against Arsenal was incredible. It's a standard of where they football club could go. Eddie Howe, my league manager of the season.
Rob, it's a great shout, and of course he's right there with me as well. And what I'd add on to that, Rob, in terms of other stuff, Callum Wilson, his main centre forward, was out for a long period of time. Kieran Trippier, who was a good signing, was out for a long period of time, critical moments. And the style of play that you talk about, we know is incredibly important to the fans, and he did it.
Yeah.
He played his way out of there with a brilliant balance of defending and attacking without his key players. So listen, it's a great shout, and. And, you know, if he wins that award from the League Managers Association, the sports writers, whatever it is, I would applaud them. It's super close for me, and you make a great argument. And I think it's, it is a remarkable job. And God, can you remember, Robin, our shows around that time? You know, they kept losing. We're like, the numbers are gonna go against him.
Yeah,
I'm gonna win the games to get out of the relegation zone. So truly a magnificent job. Even of course, it wasn't a full season long, but I can't argue, mate. It's a great shout.
Little honourable mention for our friend Patrick Vieira as well, by the way, mate, who's gone in that football club and turned that around. Okay, the final one of the season, our player of the season, Premier League player of the season, 2021-22. I'm going to let you start, my friend. I don't know where you've gone. Obviously, we've got the likes of Mo Salah, Kevin De Bruyne, Heung-min Son, Cristiano Ronaldo. Mm. Not sure if there's anyone else on your list of...
No. No, not really. I mean, you can throw some outsiders in, but we're not going to gimmick. I'm not going to gimmick this award to players that's a cool pick or whatever. I'm going to give my honourable mention first. Sorry, mate. But Heung-min Son's performance at Spurs, I think, has been pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Was it 23 Premier League goals? No penalties. You know, Mo Salah, I think it's 5 penalties with his 23 Premier League goals. More assists, I get that. So Son would have picked Mo Salah for me, but it's Kevin De Bruyne. It's Kevin De Bruyne. They're champions again. What was the numbers? 15 Premier League goals, 8 assists. Apart from everything else he does in midfield, apart from the superb key passes and the energy and effort that it takes to play in the middle of the park. Another championship for him. Getting no younger now. I think he's 30 years of age. And you know, I don't want to just stats this award off, Rob. We can look at the stats. This is, of course, it's stats, but it's also my eye and what I like to see in a footballer and what I appreciate. And I appreciate some of his passing out of nowhere, the through balls that don't get an assist. I appreciate when he scores his goals, it's with both feet. I appreciate the power that he scores them with and the accuracy that he scores them with. I appreciate that he's got a big heart and he fights to win balls back at times. And you can tell when he's wound up and fired up for games. That's what I appreciate. And he's a winner, an absolute winner. And I appreciate a player comparing a little bit with Mo Salah, Rob. And of course, there's no losers here. But in the last few months, look at his numbers and look at his performance of Kevin De Bruyne. Talk about a player that stepped up against the best teams, scored both times against Liverpool in the Premier League. His numbers recently, it's 4 goals the other day. He stepped up in the last 3 months to get great numbers and to win points for his team. And this amazing run, of course, has got his name all over it, where Mo Salah, you know, hasn't been quite so effective in the last few months when Liverpool have needed it. You come back from the African Cup, it hasn't quite looked the same player. So I appreciate a man that steps up in the key clutch moments to help his team win. So Kevin De Bruyne is my Premier League player of the season this year.
That's a very, very strong argument you put through, my friend. I'm going to go the reverse. Again, honourable mention to Sonny. I slightly differ with your opinion that I totally get that he's got no penalties. But by the way, you've got to score the penalties. Ask Riyad Mahrez. Take the penalty. Yeah. It isn't a given, by the way. I've gone the reverse. I've gone for Mo Salah. And I've gone for Mo Salah because I think most people go for Kevin De Bruyne. And listen, with my eyes, the best technical footballer in the Premier League is without doubt is Kevin De Bruyne, and I appreciate having played in midfield, and when I see what he can do with the ball and look at that and just think he plays a different game than what I played, I totally get it. But I just think with Mo Salah, my friend, that he's almost like the player of the year because he's slightly underappreciated. 23 Premier League goals this season wins him the Golden Boot, joint winner with the Golden Boot. Let me add what else he did. 13 Premier League assists. For a guy who's supposed to be greedy, for a guy who's supposed to be selfish, 13 Premier League assists. People sort of talk about the African Cup of Nations. Since he's come back, he's been involved in 11 Premier League goals, either scoring and assisting them.
Yeah, but should be more.
His numbers should be more.
More? Do you think he's been at his best in the last few months?
I'm not sure he's been in his best, but I could argue Kevin De Bruyne in the first half of the season wasn't at his best. His numbers over the last 5 seasons, Rob, I went back. 23, 22, 19, 22, 32. 3 Golden Boots. Plays in a wide position. Scores goals for fun. Continues to give his best to the team. African Cup of Nations, goes out of there, doesn't sulk, doesn't have a thing, gets straight back on the pitch and delivers for his team. There was a time when we were saying, there was an argument, Rob, is this the best player in world football?
Yeah, and from that point, Rob, if he continued in the same form, the same strike rate, the same stunning goals, I know it is.
He played 38 games, but he was playing at that level. I just feel that this guy, for some reason, the general public seem to not particularly like Mo Salah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, people talked about him being the best player in the world, Rob. Yeah, a lot of people did say about that.
He will be looked at as a Liverpool legend when he's gone. The amount of goals he scored, Rob, and the way he's done it, and the
assists. Yeah, but we're talking about this season, aren't we? We're not talking about other seasons and the numbers. He's been an incredible player. We're talking about this season.
I'm saying 23 goals, 13 assists, performance levels, and golden boot to a team that just pipped out by one goal. When they needed a goal in the second half against Wolves, guess who comes on and gets the goal? Mo Salah. He is my Premier League player of the season.
Very cool. Very good. Two brilliant players. And it's not the time to argue about these. And it's just a time to appreciate different people's opinions. Yeah. Different people look for a little bit different things. And your criteria are a little bit different to mine. But that's what makes it interesting. And I'd love to know, you know, what our listeners and viewers
think. I'm sure our listeners will have a view and tell us.
Yeah, and they might want somebody else. They might think, Jomin Son, given in a weaker team.
For me, I always think that the hardest thing in football, a ball to do, is put the ball in the back, and that this guy does it on a very regular basis. Will mine. But listen, mate, always good to catch up. We're going to head into the weekend, see if Liverpool can make it a trio of cup wins. They face Real Madrid in Paris for the big one. Make sure to look out for our podcast. We'll do that pretty much straight after the game. That's on Saturday, May the 28th. And that'll be our last two Robbie's podcasts of the season. We'll review the Reds' attempt to win their 7th Champions League title. But for now, I'm Earl, he's Musty, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, stay healthy. It's a good night from him.
And it's good night from him. Good night.